my cousin, Mark Durchy. She introduced herself as Brendy. So that's what I call her Brendy. And I put Brendy in my phone. And so when I put Brendy in my phone, it doesn't come up with that. I know Brendy's in my phone. I have to put the Y on it. Anyway, so, that's your house.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, so Brenda lives in this little pink swish chalet. It's on State Line Road and Targhee Ski Hill Road. It's on the corner there. If you ever go to...
Is it the pink house?
It's the pink house. I didn't know it. Because your my grandma roots are there, too.
Oh, yeah.
So
she's a Wilson.
Yeah, and Drake. I mean, it's not Driggs, it's in Teton Valley, and it's in you live in Alta.
Yeah, we're just across the street. I feel like I live in Idaho.
Yeah.
Because the house is in Wyoming, but everything else is Idaho. We shop in Idaho, our TV, our radio, back when we did TV and radio, was Idaho.
Yeah,
anyway,
So Brenda, how many countries have you lived in?
We just did Germany.
Just Germany.
Yeah, we did Germany twice. Well, in Canada. I'm always from Sterling, Alberta. So if anybody has connections in Alberta, talk to me. We'll know some of the same people.
So anyway, and Brenda has done a lot of training, speaking, and personal coach type stuff.
Yeah,
well,
personal stuff I'm
she's
better at.
Very passionate about it, and she's passionate about things and fun. And right now she's taking care of her mother-in-law, which is my aunt, and we're wondering why she's still alive, but she is. And my aunt lived, and they built that house.
Yeah, mom designed it, dad built it.
It's a beautiful house, and everything's dead inside.
At least in the kitchen.
And everything my aunt wore was red.
That's right, we call her our red grandma. So... first of all, I want to thank all these ladies, and I don't even know how many of them all were involved. I know there's three here. Is there anybody else in here that was super involved in all this planning? And I just want to, you three. Oh, and no kidding. But I just want you to give them a round of applause for doing so much, because they have been phenomenal. They've done so many things. And kept us all in line and knowing what was happening. It was great. And I want to thank you guys for being here. And all the people that helped make it possible. I don't know if you've got kids here. I've seen some around yesterday. Or if there's other people taking care of your kids now. But a lot of people have made all this possible. And I just would like to thank them as well. And I admire you. You, I think, are just amazing to be doing what you're doing with your kids. I thought about homeschool, but I never had the courage to do it. And I really admire you for what you're doing. There's nothing more important than raising our kids and teaching them the things they need to learn. Well, I didn't homeschool, so what on earth can I offer you? I'm hoping that I can give you a little bit more time and maybe a bunch more calmness and peace in your home. Because I think that organization really has some value. And the class that I probably use the most since college is my work simplification class. In that class, we design kitchens. And we didn't design them like an architect. And it wasn't just design. It was working with designs that already existed. We learned how to make use of whatever space we were given. And some of those designs were really challenging. Some of them were really fun. You could just... really, you know, follow all the rules and do it right and have it work really well. But some of them were not like that. And that's where my expertise lies, is in doing that. I mean, after we took the class, one of the things we can do with that is help an architect. We could work with an architect to help them make a kitchen more functional. Or we can go into homes, which is what I love to do, is go into your home and help you see things that maybe you haven't seen before that might make things go more smoothly. And I'm kind of good at it. There's a lot of things I don't do well, and maybe I don't present here well, but I'm pretty good at helping in your home and making things work more smoothly. So we're going to talk about workflow, work centers, and some rules or suggestions that help with organization. and probably some kitchen hacks, and I doubt we'll get to some mental ways to help you make that happen. But if we have time, we will. So first, we'll you go, I think it's to your fourth page. It looks like this. There it describes workflow. And workflow is just a pattern of activity. It begins with removing your food or your equipment from whatever cupboards it's in, pulling it out, and then preparing it. You know, washing it, cutting it, mixing it, baking it, whatever it is you're doing to fix your food. Then you serve the food and you clean up afterwards. So your workflow is the movement you take, walking from place to place to get that stuff, or even picking it up, pulling it out. That's the workflow. And we were taught about how to make that more efficient. So probably the easiest way to do that is just give me an example. And so I'm going to use my own kitchen. That's the floor plan of Mom's kitchen. And that's where I live. And let's see. I guess I'm going to have to take my glasses off so I can see what I'm doing here. All right. When I make fruit smoothies, this is the stuff that I need to collect. And when I first lived in Mom's house, it was her kitchen, her stuff, where her things belonged. And I eventually got to add a few of my own things to it, but not a lot. So when I first made this fruit smoothie, let's look back at the floor plan, the right picture. All right. I had the blender. Okay, so the blender was right in the cupboard here, underneath. It wasn't even on the counter. It's underneath. I have to pull it out, put it on the counter. I had a basket with fruit over here, kind of a wire thing on wheels right beside that. And that I still use sometimes if it's not the fruit's not in the fridge. And so I pull out the blender, go over here, get my fruit, walk back, come over here, get a knife either from there or from there, get the cutting board from there, and bring it back over here. Then, oh yeah, I need my flax and my powder. I did find a place in our cupboard here for it. So then I'd have to take that back. I think there was at least four times I was going back and forth just to fix it. All right. Now, I was kind of going to show you just so you get a better idea of our kitchen. So with that picture, you see just barely on the side there, right down there, that's where my fruit basket was. Okay, then when you go to the next part of my kitchen, and so up in this cupboard right here was where my flax and other powder was that I used. So this is where I'd get my knife. This was where I'd get my cutting board. I think that's all I use, but I'll just scan around this for you. Look at that cute kitchen. That white board's not always there when Mom's there. I couldn't handle it, but she's got it. Big wire thing down, or metal thing down in there where she put her geraniums in the winter. But anyway, all right, so I'm going to collect all these things that I need and bring them over to this wall. You saw how I went back and forth all the time. Well, with my work simplification background, that drove me crazy. It was really just the wrong way to do things. So I made some changes when the kitchen totally became mine and Mom was incapable and not even coming in the kitchen hardly anymore. Sometimes we wheel her through in a wheelchair, but she's certainly not doing anything and doesn't even recognize it. So now in this kitchen, in this area beside the fridge, the first thing I did was these two drawers. One had dish towels in, one had dish rags in. Full drawers, and you saw how small that kitchen is. There's not a lot of room. That's not going to work for me. Emptied out the drawers, downsized, and put both dish towels and dish rags right here beside the fridge. And I had this drawer empty that I could make choices with. So that was where I put both knives I used for cutting and a rubber scraper to clean out the... Oh, I didn't mention that in the other. Then I had to go back across the room to get the rubber scraper that was over in the workbench. So all of those things went there. I put the cutting board up here, the flax and the other powder I used is up there, the sugar that we add to Mom's smoothies after we poured ours was there, the bananas are up on the fridge rather than across the room, the frozen fruit's in the freezer, the yogurt's in the freezer, the glass I pour it in when I'm done is right there, everything. I mean, I stepped this far. I didn't even take a full step. I just kind of slide sideways. all right there. That's what you want to learn to do with workflow. And obviously, it's not always going to be that close. And I do have to go across if my apples or oranges aren't in the fridge yet. I just go across the room once. But workflow is about simplifying and shortening what's going on. And then the work centers is about choosing an area for what you're doing. So, that's a little, well, first of all, you got any questions about workflow? Does that make sense? Can you see how it would save you time if things were centered and you weren't going back and forth across your kitchen or in and out of your pantry several times? Okay, so I'm not following double time, but I know the work centers is what I want to talk about next.
What does it say about the workflow?
What's that? The workflow is about your movement. And so you want to walk less.
Mm-hmm.
And that, those notes are all in here. You really don't need to make too many notes. I've got it pretty covered. Oh, did you not? Has everybody got a handout? Raise your hand if you don't, and Chris will give you one. You all got one? Okay, good. All right, so now we're going to talk about work centers. So first I want to talk about a sink center, and that's maybe not in here. But your sink center is pretty logical for everybody. You've got your sink and your dishwasher close together. Fortunately, the plumbing makes it so buildings do that right. Otherwise, yeah, I don't know what happens. You do want your dishwasher and your sink close together. You've got your dish soap, your dish rag, your dish towels, the scrub brush. All those things are close to the sink because that's about the only place you use them. So that's logical. But do you see how it works? If you had your dish towels that you're going to use to dry your dishes clean over across the room, does that make a lot of sense? Or your dish soap somewhere else? Sink center is pretty logical for everybody. But some of your other centers you may not have thought about. So with your mixing center, and that can be further away because you don't get into it every day.
Oh,
you go get it.
Okay.
Right. It's what you're using every day. You use your dish soap under the sink or wherever several times a day. But your clean dish towels and dish rags, you only get out, you know, once every day or once every few days. So that can be further away. Good point. Thanks for bringing that up. Because that is important. I do have magnets, but I don't. It's not magnets. That's what I thought. Okay. So sorry. So we'll put this up here. Work. So in your mixing center, you need. Can't talk about that in a minute. I hate wasting time to pull this.
You want me to?
Yeah, will you pull it for me? Yeah, thank you. I need a bunch for what I'm putting up next because it's heavy.
Okay.
So here's some of your basics that go in your mixing center. You need your supplies, your appliances, your tools, you need workspace, and you need storage space. So you want to look around your kitchen, and maybe you have an area already where you kind of use most of your mixing and preparing. But have you thought about having the rest of the stuff nearby? There. Well, hopefully you can see how the football is not big long. But you've got to have your baking supplies. You need your tools, your wire whips, your bowls, your mixing, measuring spoons, and just everything. I mean, you can see that.
Okay. I'll just make a little.
We'll probably have to restrict it.
Oh, will it?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. So what you want to do first is probably look for your biggest counter space. Now, if you've got one of these fancy new kitchens that is just gigantic, your biggest counter space might not be the space to work. But if you want the rest of the things, but take a look. And definitely this area is where I have the biggest counter space in my home. And if I had my choice, if I was designing my absolute dream kitchen, my mixing center would not be between my stove and my sink, but between my fridge and my sink. Because you're always taking things out of the fridge to put in whatever you're fixing, as well as out of the cupboards. And you need the sink to add water or to rinse things off or whatever. So no kitchen's perfect, okay? There's always things that you've got to adjust and make work. But when you understand the principles, then you can recognize when you're breaking a rule and what's, you know, and you can choose to do that. But you use the principle to the best advantage you can. Does that make sense? Okay, so when you're looking at your kitchen, you're thinking, this is a mess and I can't do that. That's okay. Just think about the principle and see how you can apply it. So the first thing to do if you wanted to really make any adjustments is look at your mixing center. Where do you actually do most of your preparation? And then you look at what's in it. Do you have things in that area that really don't belong and that would serve you better somewhere else? Like breakfast cereals or sandwich makings or things like that. Where do you have that stuff? Is that right in the middle of where you need to fix your main meals? See if you can move that out, put it somewhere else, and then look at some of these things that are further away that you can put close by. Does that make sense? So that's what you want to be able to do, you know, kind of how, what you want to work with work centers. I think I will use it. Okay. This is a good time to put this up. So one of the things you want to think about when you're putting things away is prime real estate. So prime real estate in your kitchen is about this level here and about here. It's what you can reach easy, okay? There's ways to increase your prime real estate and ways to make it a little bit more functional. But the idea is that whatever you use often gets prime real estate. And then there's the one grab attitude. You should be able to open your door or your drawer and grab the things you use really often with one grab. My mother's kitchen has regular plate, the corning one plates. You know, you get them this size, and then you've got the little smaller ones, then you've got the saucers, and you've got the soup bowls, and then you had the fruit nappies. They're all on top of each other. The plates you use the most were at the bottom. That's not what to do if you don't have to. Anyway, you see, I get kind of... It really... I like using the rules when you can. And she could have spread out a little differently. Anyway, so that's one of the rules that you kind of pay attention to, is whatever you're using, make it easy to get at. And you know, I think right here I'm going to need a hat. I'm going to save those all for later, but I have to show you this, because one of the things that can make your cupboards under the sink, and it's wonderful, if you can find storage bins that work for what you want, use it. I'm a bit of a tightwad, and sometimes I can't find shapes like this anyway, but these, both of these are from the store that hold, you know, the shelf wrap or the contact paper, stuff like that. Perfect length. So these can turn a shelf in your base cupboard into a drawer. If I had more base cabinets, I would have had my stick blender and my hand mixer in here, and I'm not sure what else. But to get the idea of how that can go, even on kind of a low shelf, but certainly on a higher one, under the counter, and you can just slide it out and grab what you need. Whereas that much space on a shelf in your base cabinets, it'd be a pain to store little things like that. Does that make sense? So you find things like, however it works to contain stuff and make the best use of your space. Anyway, I collected these ones for thinking that I might help somebody someday to use it, because I don't happen to have enough. In fact, I don't think I have any. I don't. The one place that I have has lazy Susans in it, or has a drawer that pulls out. So anyway, but yes.
When you said lazy Susan, what would you prefer? What would would be good at it.
You mean in the corner?
Well, particularly do not like lazy susan.
Yeah. Then you shouldn't have one if you can get away with it. There's, they've got ways now of building drawers that waste space, but at least you can pull the drawer in that, you know, right here. Okay? If I had those drawers, you can have a drawer that goes all the way back that you can pull out. But then it's wasted the side space. And part of making a lazy suit or a turntable, I've got a friend named Susan that hates what they're called. Use a turntable. Part of making it convenient is finding a way to use it. Sometimes, like on my turntable there in the base cabinet, I actually have something just like this. And I've got several things that I put in there that are smaller that if it was just loose on the shelf, you couldn't find it. You know, it'd be terrible. But I've got this little egg cutter thing that was my mom's. I've got a machine that I can turn and slice things or whatever. Just several little things that are smaller that go in one of these and fit on the Lazy Susan. That way I can get it, I can pull it out and use it. I've got things that I put in my Instapot, like that you put in the bottom of a pressure cooker typically. My Instapot doesn't have it, but I've got that. This is terrible. I have a tin cookie sheet that I just took a, I don't even know what, and made a bunch of holes in it. It's awful to get a hold of or to wash. But it works great in my Instapot because I can put potatoes on the bottom and carrots on the top in that pan, and then they're separated and I can pull it out easy. But I have a bowl that holds this stuff in my Lazy Susan. Again, I told you to fall. That's okay, we can take it down. I think I've got pretty good notes in here for you about that anyway. Do you see how you can make your Lazy Susan a little easier to use? Does that make sense? Go ahead.
Like with my Rubbermaid containers.
Mm-hmm.
And then like while you're, our lids up and stack the plastic holes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But at times the lids get like in the middle of that. So I was just thinking what else I could put there to where I don't have to worry about that. But
you probably
I'm
need
sure
a container for your lids that will hold it so they don't fall out.
I have done that same thing, put my
Like good store stuff on there, and the lids would fall down all the time. So I switched them out, and I put number 10 cans down there that have like rice and stuff, and I labeled the lids just with marker or label maker so that I don't have to like pop up all the lids and stuff. I can use these on that bottom one. Yeah, labels definitely help, and this goes, these things go with the rule of contain and conquer. I do want to say a little bit more about those generators. Where are we here? So I have till 12:30, correct?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So with centers, I talked about the mixing center the most because it's the biggest one and it's what you use most. But you notice that I have a smoothie center because that's where I make my smoothies. The other thing I did with that, let's go to that picture again. Or maybe I'll even, let's see. Yeah, let's go to this picture. So, obviously, my smoothie center didn't take up a whole lot of room. Well, if you look at this bottom shelf here, oh, it may not be, there's bread right there, peanut butter, Nutella, honey, anything like that that goes with making sandwiches. I've got the cutting board right there. In the drawer that's right down here below it, I've got a bread knife. And so this has also become a center for me for sandwiches. My cheese and my meat, whatever, tomatoes, whatever is in the fridge to make sandwiches with, the mayonnaise. So it's all right there. And then I have, it does go over here. So right over here, I've got the plates that I'd be putting that stuff on. And so you look at your kitchen and what you do, whatever jobs you have, and see if you could put that all in one area so that you don't wander back and forth. Does that make sense? So that's the idea I'm trying to get over here. Yeah. So I think I've covered what I want on work centers. helpful. So let's go over to where it says helpful suggestions to consider. I decided to make it suggestions instead of rules. But so I'll probably call them rules half the time because for me they sort of are. So the first one is things that work together live together. We kind of already covered that with work centers and how the things I'm doing to make a smoothie or sandwiches are right there. The things in the mixing center are there. So if they're going to work together, you store them close to each other. And then the next rule is contain and conquer. And that rule is one that I really want to point out. You need to do what works for you. Open everything here. I need to go find something else to open. Sorry. Let me back up. All right. So we're going to look at three levels of containing. All right. So there's a drawer and everything is dumped into it. But those things all belong in that drawer. The only thing that's contained is the little corn cob deal. Okay, now for some people, that would be exactly what you need. That's good enough. For my daughter-in-law, that's how she would like it, I think. Maybe a little bit more. Well, then here's another level of... Oops. Oh, no, I didn't open it. I'll go here to find it. Sorry. I meant to have all these things open so you just pop through them. Okay, so see here, I put in another little container right there and separated a few things out, and then there's things on the side. So it's separated some. It's contained a little bit more than the first level. And then on the extreme side of things, and all these drawers...
Why is it that popped up behind your... Yep.
Oh, thank you. See, I'm technologically challenged. Okay, this drawer has exactly the same thing, but everything has a very specific place. And for some people, that would drive them crazy to have to put it away that way. And you need to do what works for you and your family. I happen to like it like this. I know I'm a little bit extreme, but there are different levels of organizing. And if ever you have an organization specialist work with you, you need first to be sure that they are willing and understand different types of organization. You guys all understand different learning styles. It's the same with organizing. There's different styles. And somebody else's style, they come in and try to tell you how to do your home the way they do it, it may not work for you. If your styles are the same, that's great. But if your styles aren't the same, you need to do it differently so it works for what you do. And so, just consider that when you're trying to organize and contain things. How extreme do you want to go with that? And what do you want to do? But it is very helpful, no matter what, to do some containing. And that can be in a room or a kitchen or anywhere. With your school supplies, you need to do some containing. Let's see. Well, I got pretty good notes there. You can read those later. We don't need to spend time looking at that. One of the things I've had fun with, and partly I've had fun with it because I did some extreme mental control to teach my subconscious. I don't think I want to tell you what I did because it was so much, and you know, you're looking like you're weird. But what was really fun was it worked because I lived in this house with moms. We only lived in a basement room. It was hard. I had all my stuff from a big three-bedroom house, well, pretty good-sized three-bedroom house, mostly in the shed. And I got out my husband's tools to some degree, but I didn't even dare dig in the shed for much because I thought, if I take this stuff out of the boxes, I'll never get it back where it goes, and how will I ever put it away? It just overwhelmed me. And I'd left it for like 2 years, just afraid to attack it at all, just living with minimums. And then I decided I had to make a change. So I did some mental training. Affirmation I wrote up had a lot of points in it, but one of them was everything has a place and everything goes back there to rest. Oh, maybe you can put that up if you want. Anyway, I did this extreme mental training And the next day, for 2 days, this lasted. And I didn't keep up the training, so it fizzled. But for 2 days, I actually had an experience where I would pick something up, and I felt like my hand was a robot. I literally watched my hand go put it where it belonged instead of dropping it. I mean, it really didn't feel like it was me controlling my hand. My subconscious had got trained. I put it in there. I had a new track. I want you to take that down. I put that new attitude in there, and my brain took over and did it for me. And it was really cool. So anyway, whether it's a confined area and you have itty-bitty storage where you know where everything is, or it's a bigger, more open area, it's so helpful if everything has a place. You know where it goes, your husband, your wife knows where it goes, your kids can learn where it goes. And that was what I wanted to teach a little trick I did with my kids in Germany. I decided I needed them, in order for everything to fit, I kind of needed their big toys to have certain places, and I wanted them to be able to put it away. So I set up this, it was really a closet with shelves, set this up where I wanted their toys to go, and then I turned it into a game. And I said, all right, look where this stuff is. We're going to play hide and seek with the toys. You see if you can remember where this is, go out of the room, mom's going to need some of these things. And I take two or three things out, put them on the floor, and then they just go see if they can figure out where to put them away. And my kids actually picked up on it. And we did it. They got to the point, they didn't like their friends putting the toys away because they wanted it where it belonged. I know that's a little abnormal, but kind of fun. Some of them did. Some of them did. Anyway, it just helps you find things. And does it make it more calm when you're not frantically looking for something? Where is that? I know, you know, there's been a lot of moving into this house a bit at a time. And we are having problems with. My husband's always like, you moved that. Well, I got more cupboard space in your mom's house. Now I can spread things out a little better. Anyway, one of the other things that I'm learning, especially because of this house that we're in, is about assigning purpose to a space. So whether it be a drawer or a room, and that's in there. You don't have to write that because it's right there. Okay. But the first time I paid attention to this, I was looking at the laundry room down there. We have quite a nice laundry room in the basement. And mom has put several cabinets in it. We have some storage space. There was nowhere to sort laundry, but we had storage space. And she had used that storage space, I kind of think almost without purpose. It's just, it's there, so whatever she had would go in there. And it did end up collecting a whole lot of paint and varnish and paint thinners and all kinds of things that don't belong in the laundry room. Well, I've been able to clean out the furnace room and whatever, and I thought, there's got to be a better way. This is my laundry room, and it doesn't belong here. A lot of this is old and garbage. We're going to get rid of it. So I did a bunch of decluttering first and then found ways to put away what was left. And emptied out the laundry room of all these things that didn't belong. And then I was able to put the things I wanted in the storage cabinets that were there. And thus, those storage cabinets that I had already taken over some of them were now a lot more functional. I didn't have to dig so much to find what I was after. I could see it. I could find it. And so whatever it is, whether it's a room, a cupboard, a drawer, closet. What about your front closet? How many of you have some kind of closet near your front door? What would you like that closet to hold?
Coats and shoes.
Coats and shoes, okay. What does it hold?
I've got a pillow on the top shelf for some reason. it was like a silver couch that the cover got stained or ruined and threw it out. Just the pillow went up there.
How often do you take your pillow down and use it?
It's never come down. We've lived there over a year. And it's like, why is there?
Okay. Well, that's what you need to do with that space, whatever it is, and the front closet's one that collects a lot of things. A junk drawer collects. And do you know that as long as you call it a junk drawer, that is really what it will be? I finally decided, this is my utility drawer. I now choose to have screwdrivers, a plier, a pair of pliers, a hammer, some extension, a couple of little extension cords. I've got old electricity in this house, so I have to have those adapters, you know, so that I can plug in a three-prong thing into a two-prong. I've got several of those there. But I choose what goes in that now. Take a look at your junk drawer and see what's there that needs even trash or what needs to go somewhere else. And sometimes it's handy to have a place to collect things that you're going to put away later. And you can assign it that job if you want. But choose the purpose of your junk drawer and name it accordingly. Because if it stays a junk drawer, that's really what it will be. It's been interesting to kind of look at some of this because we all collect. And it's way easier to accuse somebody else and see what they're doing wrong. Well, Mom's lived in this house for 70 years. They built it in the 50s. She redesigned her kitchen in the late 70s. I mean, that's still a long time. It's collected a lot of things that never get used. But as I complained about how she's done that, I started looking at some of the things I've got. Even in my little tiny kitchenette in the basement, I found things that, why do I have this here? It's taking up space that I need and I'm not using it. Examine what you store. Take a look at it and do some decluttering. Make space to fill the purpose you want instead of just letting them, you know, you come home with something new and you don't really have a place for it. So there's a spot where there's room and it gets put there and then it gets left, but it may not go with that stuff. Try to put like things together, or not always even like things together. Put the things you use together, which means that sometimes you don't store like things together. In fact, we kind of had fun at Candace's with that, with homeschool, and I'm much better with kitchen. So I've asked her to tell you a little bit about what she did with that, with not storing like things together. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine.
So,
in my mind, I just things that go together or store together. I actually follow a lady on Instagram that talks about like things are family, cousins, and coworkers, you know, and that's how she stores things. Anyway, so, but Brenda shared the story with me where somebody, you know, she was staying at her house and she couldn't find the bread knife and realized, oh, you know, this is Brenda's house. The bread knives is by the bread. And so that's where she found it. And anyway, but so I went through some of my things. And so like in my office, I'm going through my drawers and I've got a pencil drawer and stuff, but that's where the tape is. Why is the tape with pencils? I don't use it with pencils, you know? And then in my homeschool room, same thing. Like I've got colored pencils and markers and scissors and tape. Scissors and tape don't go with that, you know? So I've moved them and they're over by the paper and the construction paper and things like that, that, you know, the kids are using tape with paper, scissors with paper. So that was just my little example of kind of switching that mindset of why am I storing this over here? Because then when they do want, they're getting paper out and they want to cut it and tape things, it affects that workflow and you're, you know, cruising all over the place trying to gather your items, so.
And your kids are actually more willing to put things away when, you know, it's easier to do. One of my fun experiences, I have a really close friend that, oh, she kind of filled every role for me. She was a good friend. She was like a mother. She was like a big sister. But I grew up tending her kids and just became part of her family. And then we moved back to Canada. And one day she said, Brenda, I need to clean my kitchen. I need to make some changes. Will you help me? Yeah, what do you need to do it? And so anyway, she had fancy dishes that she maybe used some Sundays. She did use them a little bit more than once or twice a year. But they were above her dishwasher in a tiny, tiny kitchen that doesn't have enough room to begin with. Her fancy dishes were above her dishwasher. I said, oh, Virginia, we've got to go. This can't work here. And we She'd remarried, and anyway, we were able to move them right out of the kitchen and make changes. But I taught her about work centers and how you, and I didn't tell her about a sandwich center, but she called me up one day and she said, I have a sandwich center now. And 2 months after we had done her kitchen, she said, Premier, my kitchen's been clean ever since we did it. Well, obviously she made messes. She cooked food. There were messes in her kitchen. But what she was saying, that it was now, the way it was organized, it was so easy to put it away, she just cleaned her kitchen without hardly even thinking about it. And like that, as far as movement goes, one of... But one of the things that I did in my mixing center was, you know, the stove is here and the mixing center is here. Mom had her spices in this cupboard on the other side of the stove. Well, that wasn't good. Anyway, I finally was able to move that. My spices are now right there in my mixing center, and my salt is right there. I've caught myself several times where just yesterday I noticed I pulled out the salt. I had it kind of in a bag. I screwed the lid off, kept it in my hand, pulled up my measuring spoon, measured the salt. It was just salt. I put the measuring spoon back in the drawer and picked up the lid and put it back on and put the salt back in the cupboard. The salt never even hit the counter space. I do that with spices lots of times. Take them down, measure it, and put them back. It never even hit the counter. When it was over on the other side, I have to go get it on the counter, and do whatever I'm doing. It's left there. It might get sticky or dirty, and I've got to wash it off, and then I put it away. So just look at some of those things and how your workflow goes and where you're storing things. Store it where you use it. That's okay. Go for it. We learn from questions.
Well, I have a very small kitchen, not a lot of tall cabinets or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always been raised to put your medicine like
up high. Have you got little kids? Okay.
We are not hypochondriacs, but I think as a parent, we always have ibuprofen, Tylenol, Motrin, all the, you know, cough drops, and then us grown ups about the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's adult stuff.
Yep.
And then
you put them on the top shelf and you can't
stuff,
reach it.
Like it just. Yes,
is that the problem? You can't reach them? Cause
well, that too. But I have my spices on the wall because there was, the selling place. There was one of those racks or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's way away from my stove. But I just wondered where we could put another, or put the medicine. So I could put my spices. And eliminate, like, counter space.
Well, medicine doesn't have to be in the kitchen.
That's what I was going to say.
We don't have a place. We have a really small house.
Uh-huh.
And hopefully it's going to change in the next couple of years. But anyway, that's another story.
Uh-huh.
And our mirror in our bathroom is where I put Band-Aids and all the Neosporin and the us grown-ups toothbrushes. Because that's gross. With the kids, anyway. But that's full. Like my stuff that I really don't want the kids messing with, like your facial cleansers and stuff like that. I know that's getting personal, but I just don't have enough in my.
It's hard when you don't have enough room. I do relate to that.
Your vitamins.
Mm-hmm. I've lived in 17 different places. I've organized kitchens in 17 different places, and I've lived with challenges. And I love to make more storage where it works. And I've come up with some pretty interesting things. In one kitchen, there was hardly any drawers. I don't know where I got this box from, but it's a box about this, a wooden box about this size. And I think it was supposed to sit on your counter this way, and the lid slid out. I think it was for wines or something, so I don't know where I got it from. But I got the box. I ended up, and I know it was kind of small, but still, I just didn't have space. I ended up choosing a few dish towels and dish rags, and I stored them in that, and it was set on the edge of my counter. But there's a lot of ways. If you want me to come to your house and help you find ways to create more storage, I'd love to do that. Yep. Let me, if you're interested, I'll come to your house and help figure out how to do it. because a lot of times things like that are challenging. It's hard. But as long as we talk about how you like to keep things up high, I'll show you another path. I know it's not pretty. If you can get a bin that's pretty, that's great, do it. But this actually fits really nice on a shelf in an upper cupboard, okay? And so, well, before we get to this, let's talk basics on upper cupboards. So the first thing I do in any kitchen I move into, I take a look at what's going to go in the cupboards. And so then, like, say for the dishes. All right, I've got Corningware dishes, so the plates stack pretty low, right? They're not like the stoneware that takes a lot of space. So my Corningware stack of plates is only about this high. Well, what if I have glasses that happen to be this high? And it may seem logical to put glasses and plates on the same shelf just because of how you use them, maybe, but not for my mind. My plates don't take up much room, so I need to look around for what other things I want on that shelf that isn't any higher than this than has to be, okay? So I take my next lowest things. Then I figure out how low I can drop the next shelf. Okay, does that make sense? So I put my low stuff, the stuff that doesn't take up much space this way, and I lower that shelf down to what's comfortable. Now don't take it down so low that you can't get into things and pull it out, but get it comfortable as low as you can. And I do the same thing with the next shelf. And a lot of times that's all you've got is two shelves in a cupboard, or if it's really tall or whatever, you've got a third shelf. Same thing. I mean, figure out where it's handy to use it, but also look at your space like this so that you can bring the shelves down. And what that does for you is your top shelf is no longer up so high. It's down where you can reach it easier. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Can you see some value in that? And then the other thing that I do in my kitchen at Mom's house, you can't move. All right, what else do I need to tell you? Anyway, so this is what goes on my top shelf. So whatever I want to put on my top shelf over here, I turn the shelf into a drawer. I pull it out, set it on the counter, get what I want, and put it back. You know, if it's got heavy cans in, I can't pull it out like this. I got my hand on it. But it makes it so much easier to use that top shelf. If you want to make things prettier than using just the box, this is just the box. My daughter sewed bias tape around the edge of the burlap. She put contact paper in the box first, put the burlap on, then glued on some stuff back here. She made a whole bunch of these in her sewing cabinet. I love it. I inherited her sewing cabinet because she lost her cabinet. So I get to use her stuff there. You could do that with anything. You could make this a whole lot prettier. That's what you do. Lazy Susans on your upper shelves make things a lot more useful. You can get to things a lot easier if you've got it. You can put your spices in. If you want to get extreme, you can alphabetize your spices. Let's see. Yes.
I'm thinking about my kitchen, and I always feel like I don't have enough space on my counters, but I'm seeing that I don't put things away, like what you're saying. Do you have a worry about, like, putting things in boxes that, like, your bread or your, like, right now with the garden finishing, but all summer I've had, like, tomatoes and I've got garlic.
Oh, and so you don't want them out on the cover, but if you put them away, you forget about them and lose them?
The
problem. Yes, you have to pay attention to stuff like that. Yeah, I just sent my husband down to the fruit room last night because I said, hey, I don't have time to do this. You need to go down because we're up in the mountains where it's cold. And so our tomatoes are all picked, but some of them are green. So we have them spread out one layer on some shelves in the basement. And, yeah, we have to watch them all the time. We'll pick out the rotten ones and throw it away, pull out the ripe ones that we want to use. But that is a concern, and it's even more of a concern for the person that likes to see everything. See, some of us like things put away so you don't see it, want bare cupboard space. Other people, if they do that, they've lost it. It's gone. They need it out where they can see it. And so you've got to work with that and figure out how to make stuff work the way you need it. But take a look at what is on your counter that maybe isn't perishable, that you don't use very often. Can it be moved? Could it be moved to another area that gives you more cupboard space, counter space, so that you can use what you need? Look at what's in the area that you want to use for a certain purpose. See what's there that isn't filling that purpose, and see where else it can be moved so that you can put the things in that you do use. That make sense? All right. Another rule is store these things close to where you use them first, especially if it's stuff that you use all the time. Here's a little hack to make your measuring cups or measuring spoons easier to find. You can hang them up. The kitchen I'm in right now, I don't really have room to do that. There's not enough room at the door. That's on the outside or on the inside of the door, and it would hit my Lazy Susan that I use right now. So let's see. I want to be sure I get to a couple of other things here. And I've only got 5 minutes. And I want you to, if you've got any questions, tell me. Candace, if you mind, just passing those out. Yes.
So you said that you helped Candace organize her school supplies, mm-hmm. right? So I like what she said about the paper stuff going together and mm-hmm. whatever else. I'm thinking like crafting stuff.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so you're crafting stuff, that whatever craft you're going to make or whatever, mm-hmm. have them in one place, but it doesn't have to use your pens and pencils.
But like what other centers would you have for schoolings?
Okay, I'm not as talented there because I didn't do homeschool, all right? But what you need to do is to look at what you do. So look at your activities. Sit down and write. List your activities. You know, you do these crafts. Maybe some of your crafts are quite different in the tools they need. And so make a list of this kind of stuff. Figure out the kinds of activities you've got and what you use for it, and then see how you can store those things together. Does that make sense?
So what principle would that be? That's the principle.
Yeah, the principle is whatever. Oh, maybe I didn't say that. Where did I miss that one? Whatever works together, lives together. Did I say that already?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So yeah, whatever you're going to use for any project, they live together. They stay in the same cabinet, the same bin, whatever it is. And then it's really handy to have. Probably all of you, I think most of you probably use stuff like this for your kids for homeschool, don't you? Where whatever they're using, they put in theirs, it's got their name on it, and then they bring it to wherever they're using it. That's a good way to contain and whatever. You can do the same thing with projects. One of the things I do, and maybe because your homeschool might happen in a different place than your stuff is stored, you know, you might need your dining room table to work at, whereas your stuff is stored somewhere else. Well, in my case, my kitchen's small, my food storage is in the basement. So I've got a little better at planning menus, and when I do a good job of planning menus and use it, then I make a list, or kind of pull out my recipes, and I've got this bin that's about this size that's up above the fridge in a cupboard that I really can't reach for anything else. So I can open the door, barely reach that thing, and pull it out. So it works for me. I take that bin and my recipes for the week, and I go downstairs and grocery shop. And then I put the stuff that I want to use for that week, whether it be in the fridge or the freezer, put it in that bin and bring it upstairs. And then actually, I use a box. Really similar, but actually looks better than this one. It's a honey box. But it's my box that goes up high, and it holds my canvas that I use for me. But you do the same thing with your crafts or whatever it is you're doing for homeschool. Have some kind of bin. You can put in the things that you need. Take it to the room you're going to use it in. Use it. Dump it back in the bin and take it back to put it away. Then you don't have all these little things everywhere that nobody wants to put away. You know, it's easy to take it in there. Does that make sense? Okay, this thing that she just handed out.
Did you have any more copies of those?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Do we need some more?
Yep.
That's fine. Everybody gets a copy. But this is an offer because I just love going into your home and helping people make it more functional. It's just fun for me. So anyway, I'm telling you, you can put my hands and my brains to work. And the first five people that make an appointment with me get my skin, have 2 hours of my time or free. Anyway, I just like doing it. And to be honest, I decided that I wanted to do more of this. So I set a goal at the end of the year, at the beginning of the year, that I wanted to help 50 people organize their space. And so you'd actually be helping me if you let me come into your home. Help you out. So please, you know, get a hold of me if you want my assistance. And
here,
I am. Yeah.
15 more.
Huh?
15 more to meet your goal.
No, I'm closer than that already. Yeah. Yeah, I think I kind of set it up a little different because I didn't want my goal to depend on other people. What if I couldn't get you guys to take me into your homes? And so I set it up so that I could do a video or teach a class. Either one of those things is one. But if I find out, if you'd be kind enough to let me know if you use some of these principles, I mean, I'm excited to go over 50 this year. That'd be awesome. Call me and tell me what you did, or call me with questions if you don't want me to come into your home. You know, sometimes I do things on Zoom. You can show me a specific problem. But, so you'd actually be helping me if you let me help you. So this class counts for one. And do you have an appointment? Well, I don't have the time, but Megan's going to have me come back over. And so that's true. I think that just leaves me the 10 that I need to do this year. And I would be so happy to do more.
Right there.
Ruby,
I hope.
See?
Blackfoot?
I'll even
Blackfoot
do that.
Blackfoot people. I've been looking for you.
I'm a ways away, but that's okay because I drive here all the time. And I knew when I set the goal that I wasn't going to find enough people in the valley to help. I thought I'd get it. Whatever. That's right. Just about do that. When I was out in New York for 3 weeks, they made a comment at the church at Relief Society and asked if anybody had any things they'd like to teach for classes. And I thought, sure. I actually got a class in while I was in New York that 3 weeks. Well, ladies, I hope that I've given you something that might. Is there anything that you think you might use?
Yeah,
has this helped you at all?
Yeah, thank you.
I hope so.
I feel like cleaning, and I'm part of the struggle. So now I want to.
Anyway, there's so little I can do in an hour, but I need to close, so whoever else can get here and move on.
Well,
thank you.
Yeah, it's lunchtime. You have an hour and a half.
An hour and a half.
Okay.
Well,
back, so.
I'm here.
Thank you.
So if anybody wants to talk to me or set up appointments, I'm good.
Yep, we don't have to rush out of here.
Yeah, I don't have to hurry.
Come over.
Would you start the recording?
Now, can we get copies of